We will not weary you with many things. My talk will be very brief. We all know this very well, because all of us suffer in this life. Pain and tears are our companions throughout life. They have become our shadow. Wherever we go, pain and tears follow us. At the same time, of course, they are also medicine that leads us to eternal life. The path of life is filled with pain and tears, with thorns and nails. Crosses spring up everywhere. Anguish and affliction are everywhere. Anguish and affliction possess our whole being. Every step we take is a Gethsemane, every uphill climb a Golgotha, every moment the thrust of a spear. If we could wring out the earth like a sponge, it would drip blood and tears. Job, who endured so much, says that if any man has passed through his life untouched by sorrow, with no grief and no pain, then that man is a monster. What does monster mean? It means someone outside the natural order, an unnatural human being. For he means that, in the ordinary course of things, pain and tears are the companions and the lot of every mortal human being. As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so shall he blossom, says a psalm of David. The rose brings forth a thorn, and the thorn brings forth a rose. The beautiful things of this present life are accompanied by pain, but pain also gives birth to joy, for behind every trial sent by God, the love of God is hidden. We suffer for a time. We come to an ascent to Golgotha and the crucifixion. But the resurrection follows when Golgotha and the crucifixion are endured with knowledge of God and not with murmuring and impatience. The rainbow usually rises after the storm. The storms must come first before the sky can clear. Discernment, illumined by Christian faith and wisdom, sees things differently through spiritual insight. It can look far more deeply than outward appearances. Insight granted by God sees deeply. What does this mean? Behind the affliction, behind the tears, behind the usual despair brought upon us by some temptation, such insight perceives the benefit that will follow. It enables the person who possesses it to deal with affliction, pain, and temptation with discernment. He does not struggle blindly or without discernment. Through pain, spiritual insight sees joy and hope, just as Christ's triumph came through the suffering of his passion and the cross. Did our Christ not come to the point of crying out on the cross, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? He did not say it, he said it. And the result? The resurrection. The most marvelous statues, the most perfect ones, what do they have? They have taken the most blows from the craftsman's chisel. Great souls, strong souls, and courageous people owe their greatness to the heavy blows of pain. Gold and precious ornaments must first pass through the fire of the crucible, for gold has no value unless it passes through the crucible. Before it is purified, the impurities within it prevent it from possessing its proper value. Pain shakes the human person to the very depths of his being. Both physicians and spiritual physicians, that is, the spiritual father and confessor, are constantly confronted by the pain, affliction, and tears of the suffering person who comes to them, whether the illness is bodily or spiritual. It is a fire, a furnace that burns and consumes. It is a storm and a tempest. My inmost being and the sea are never at rest. There are moments when the trials come one after another, wave upon wave, and often all at once. That is when the cross becomes very, very heavy. The anguish reaches its peak. What is going to happen? Like a ship caught in the storm and the tempest, the captain says Solomos. Then the question comes, will I be saved? Will I make it through? Will I reach the harbor? The anguish reaches its peak. The soul is so weighed down that it is ready to buckle under the weight. Everything looks black, pitch black, darkness everywhere, dead ends everywhere. St. Gregory says, the good things. But all hope seems to have vanished. Our sufferings stand before us, stark and menacing. The journey continues through the night. No beacon can be seen anywhere, and Christ seems to be asleep. This is what St. Gregory says in simple language. We remember from our Holy Gospel how Christ was once on the lake with his disciples when a fierce wind and storm arose. He appeared to be asleep, as though he did not know what was happening in the boat. The disciples, being human like us, became distressed, frightened, and anxious. Their anguish reached its height, and they went to Christ and said to him, Lord, arise, we are perishing, we are drowning. Then Christ looked at them with his divine gaze, as though saying, Have you still not learned who your helmsman is? And immediately he rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. The afflictions of life are nails and knife thrusts, blows that so often tear us mercilessly and pierce our hearts. They set our hearts ablaze, make them red hot like fire, and leave them utterly drained and powerless. The only thing left to us in these difficult moments is the cry we address to God, a cry of anguish and supplication. Have mercy on me, Lord, for my soul is deeply troubled. I am worn out with my groaning. My heart has become like wax that melts away, like a candle melting down. Have mercy on me, Lord, for I am afflicted. My life is spent in pain, and my years in groanings. I have been forgotten like a dead man, gone from every heart. My tears have been my bread day and night. Why are you so sorrowful, O my soul, and why do you trouble me? So the psalm says, Man is the king of creation, and yet the crown he wears is a crown of thorns. At times his journey is a song, a symphony of joy, but more often it is a sorrowful, unceasing funeral march. In these difficult moments, the human soul is put to the test. What overturns the whole ordeal of anguish is the voice, the pleading cry, the outpouring of the human soul. You will have known such moments of pain and anguish in your own life, and if you have the experience, you know how even two words of prayer can overturn the evil. The problem of suffering is great and age-old. The subject is endless. Philosophers, sociologists, psychologists, and many others have studied it. Yet the most authentic answer is given by Christianity, by faith and the law of God, and that answer has two parts. Theologically, suffering, like every evil, is a consequence of humanity's fall in paradise. It results from humanity's misuse of freedom and is the fruit of disobedience. Morally, however, it is an opportunity and a means for acquiring virtue and attaining perfection. Yet the very thing that is a result of the fall becomes, in reverse, by the grace of God, an opportunity that God gives us, an opportunity to draw near to God. In affliction I remembered you, says the prophet again. In the time of my affliction, I remembered you, my God, and in the answer God gives to a person's affliction, God comes to be known more deeply. I shall always revere God, says Gregory the theologian, however many adversities he may allow to befall me. Pain is for me a medicine of salvation. Saint Basil the Great says, Since God is preparing for us the crown of his kingdom, let illness become an occasion for virtue. Illness becomes an occasion for metanoia, repentance, and for inheriting the kingdom of God. When a person enjoys good health, he usually forgets God. But when God meets him along some path of illness, he immediately gives his life a different direction. Then the person understands that God is calling him to return. Afflictions bring us closer to God, says John Chrysostom, that blessed mouth of God. And when we consider the eternal gain that comes through afflictions, we will not give way to sorrow. How could we, when we know that affliction produces an eternal weight of glory in the kingdom of God? So wrote the Apostle Paul, who was so persecuted and afflicted, his body marked all over with the wounds of the Lord, with torture, suffering, and mockery endured for the love of Christ. What does he teach us? He teaches that God allows a person to suffer through afflictions for his own benefit, so that he may share in God's holiness. We cannot partake of God's holiness unless afflictions come first. God has 1,000 ways to make you see his love. Christ can turn our misery into a song of praise later on. Your sorrow shall be turned into joy, says the Lord. Isn't that exactly what happens when we are delivered from some great affliction, from some great and dangerous trial, when a miracle is worked for us in the face of an illness that was certain to be fatal? Do we not then offer God our profound thanksgiving, with all our soul and all our heart, acknowledging that in his great wisdom he brought about this mighty deliverance within our soul? Indeed, such a battle, such a victory. In the marketplace of heaven, nothing is cheap. Moments of pain and sacrifice are moments of God's blessing. Beside every cross, there is also a resurrection. Even if we are suffering now and weeping without ceasing, this is passing and temporary. For, as Paul says, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us an exceedingly great and eternal weight of glory. The person who suffers is life's finest athlete for glorious victories. He will be rewarded with eternal prizes. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared. Bear in mind that the great athletic contests we see in the stadiums and the training halls. You see, specialized trainers are given to specially chosen people, people who are richly endowed with these gifts, not to everyone, not just anyone who wants to run or to compete, is actually fit to face an opponent and take the crown of victory. They are trained first, and only then do they enter the arena of the wrestling match and the contest. Therefore, those who, by God's judgment, enter the great contests of affliction have been chosen by God. May we understand this, recognize the great honor God has given us, and respond accordingly until we receive the crown. Whoever looks upon pain and faces it through the lens of eternity is already victorious. He is the chosen one who, through unshakable faith in God, has attained joy, tasted the goodness of the Lord, and now awaits the crown of victory. Such a person can and has every right to repeat the victorious cry of the Apostle Paul, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord will award me on that day." Once suffering has dimensions like these metaphysical dimensions that reach beyond this world, then rising above suffering and its transfiguration into a joy that redeems is truly a reality. When suffering is understood in the light of heaven's answer and in the light of eternity, then it becomes joy. Pain is turned into glorification of God and thanksgiving, and into self-reproach that one is not worthy of so great a victory. This is a transformation brought about by the power of God. It is a profound inner transfiguration, certainly irrational to a person guided by reason alone, yet a natural consequence of Christian faith to atheistic existentialism. This transformation may be an insoluble problem, and to the merely biological person a fantasy, but to the person of faith it is the great miracle of God's love. This transcendent experience of pain, this overcoming of pain, leads to the solution of the great problem. It leads from darkness into light. For when we do not have this illumination of faith, we often see pain as abandonment by God. We must therefore accept the pain that visits us as a blessing from God. A grain of wheat is pressed down and dissolves within the earth. But once it has dissolved, once it has decayed in the earth, it bears the fruit of life. Then it sprouts. Then it bears fruit. Did not Christ himself say this concerning himself? "Unless the grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, unless I die, I will not give you eternal life." Rich and blessed, then, is the harvest of suffering. Great is God's blessing in the field of tears. Before the repentance of St. Augustine, the field of his soul was decayed and barren. But the rich offering of his mother, St. Monica, brought a rich harvest to that useless and barren field of her child's soul. So then, the field of tears bears the great fruits of God. It is a blessing, then, that is lived by all those who, with the gift of discernment, truly believe. God's blessing and mercy be upon all who have passed through the furnace of many kinds of suffering, on a bed of pain or confined to a wheelchair, and have endured by divine strength and perseverance, eternal, immortal, and all blessed rest in God awaits them. Amen.